dialogue, I'm not so sure. I feel like we are making it more simple, but nonetheless, I think that the goal is there and we can get there.
So. That's the intention. Of course, sometimes good intentions don't, you know how that works. And it has nothing to do with kettle corn, right? I don't think that, no kettle corn.
Popcorn.
Okay.
Next, your report, sir.
Yes, sir. County Administrator's report for March 17, 2015. Item number one, the Sussex County Airport Advisory Committee is scheduled to meet Wednesday, March 25th at the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center at 6 p.m. A copy of the agenda is attached. Item number two, a reminder, County Council will not meet next week, Tuesday, March 24th. The next regularly scheduled meeting for the Council will be held on March 31st at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of Council. I'm requesting to change our arrangement with Wilmington Trust from a trust agreement to a custodial agreement for the Sussex County Employee Pension Fund. In 1976, the county signed an agreement with Wilmington Trust to be a trustee of our funds held with them for a pension plan. This agreement cost the county 7 basis points, which is 0.07%. In 2011, Sussex County signed a similar agreement with Wilmington Trust to be the custodian of funds held with them for the OPEB plan. This agreement cost the county 4 basis points, or 0.04%. In an attempt to save money, I reviewed the differences between a trustee and a custodial account, and I summarized them on your handout that was in the packet. As you can see, a trustee, they manage our funds. They invest them in certain areas. Mm-hmm. We don't allow Wilmington Trust to do that. We tell them where to invest the funds. Oh. A custodian is a typical bank agreement that you would think they would hold our funds. So that's why I'm recommending removing them as a trustee and putting them as a custodian, because we don't use those services as a trustee.
That will save us about $10,000 a year.
That is correct. It will save us about $10,000. We've had no issues with the custodial agreement that we have currently with them with the OPEB. And the reason it's going to save us even more on our OPEB is because I'm going to combine those two funds, and anything over $25 million, it'll go down to 0.03%. So put it under one. I have a resolution.
Please read.
Okay. Resolution appointing Sussex County Council to act as a trustee of the trust established as part of the Sussex County Employee Pension Plan. Whereas the Sussex County, Delaware maintains the Sussex County Employee Pension Plan, which is qualified under Section 401A of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council is hereby appointed to act as the trustee of the trust established as part of the plan, and be it further resolved that the Wilmington Trust, currently serving as a non-discretionary trustee of the plan, be removed as a trustee effective as the date of the successor trustee accepts their appointment.
I have a question.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Yeah. I'll second the motion, but I have a question.
Okay, we have a question on the motion.
Yeah. We're totally getting totally out of, we're taking total control over that, those funds, where we had the help supposedly of Wilmington Trust before.
Right. Wilmington Trust never acted as our trustee. They were signed as our trustee. We have investment managers.
Who's got the burden of, and we're taking the burden ourselves? Do you feel that that's
no
the right way to go?
It is the right way to go, because we ultimately established the investment policy statement, which establishes the rules of how our funds can be done. We do not allow Wilmington Trust to move them from certain accounts to this. We tell them what to do. So we do not allow them to do that, but we had an agreement that would have allowed them to do that. So this is a better way, and it saved us money as
On our own.
On our own. We have investment managers.
Check and balance, that's what I'm looking for.
Right, we have investment managers aside from our custodial bank that actually invests the money.
Good job.
Or custodians do all investing here.
Any more questions on the motion?
If I may, just to reconfirm, all we're doing is saving the taxpayers about $10,000 a year by a stroke of a pen and being a little bit more efficient with what we're doing.
I'll vote for you.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you for that.
Any more questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I will, yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Old business, Mr. Lank. Conditional use 1994.
We put him under old business.
Yeah.
Old.
We have one item of old business this morning. It is conditional use number 1994, the application of Robert Wilkerson to to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an automobile repair shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.5 acres more or less, land lying north of Route 88, Cave Neck Road, 340 feet east of Road 261, Sweetbriar Road. 911 address was not available. Tax map ID is District 235, map 22, parcel 18.09. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on August 21st of 2014, rendered their decision and recommendation on September 11th of 2014. Council held public hearing on October 14th of 2014, and the applicant was not present. Under consideration based on an advertising flaw, we re-advertised the public hearing for the council, which was held on January 13th of 2015. So all members were present, or all members were available to review this application. Before you have a copy of the report of the Planning and Zoning Commission within your packet, the commission then discussed this application and when it gave their final decision on September 11th, of 2014. Mr. Johnson stated he was prepared to make a motion and asked for commissioner's input. Mr. Smith stated that the size is an appropriate location for an auto repair shop to serve the area based on some of the support heard during the public hearing. Mr. Ross agreed. Mr. Burton stated he would be abstaining since he didn't participate in the discussion and vote since he was not present during the public hearing. So we had four members that were participating. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1994 for Robert Wilkerson for an automobile repair shop based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, contrary to some of the statements made during the public hearing, this is not a conversion to a commercial or business zoning district. The use will be specific with conditions and limitations placed upon it. Like any conditional use, if these requirements are violated, the conditional use can be terminated. Two, the use is relatively small in scope. If there was a home on this property, it is small enough for of a use with no employees that it is similar to a home occupation. Three, while there are some relatively new developments in this area, it is still a predominantly rural agriculture residential area. Four, the use is adjacent to a much larger parcel owned by the applicant's family. Five, although there were some opposition to this application, Mr. Johnson is satisfied that these issues can be addressed through appropriate conditions. Six, he did not believe that this use adversely affects traffic in the area. Seven, with the conditions and limitations placed upon this use, it will not adversely affect neighboring properties or the community. Eight, the use provides a benefit to Sussex County residents by providing a convenient location for automobile service. And nine, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to the existing structure on the property. No additional structures will be permitted. B, the use shall be operated solely by the applicant. As stated by the applicant, there shall not be any other employees associated with the business. C, no outside repairs shall be permitted. D, no junked, unlicensed, or unregistered vehicles, trucks, or trailers shall remain on the property for longer than 6 months. E, no more than 10 vehicles, trucks, or trailers shall be located outside at any one time. F, the use shall include porta-potty facilities. The nature and location of these facilities shall be shown on the final site plan and shall be screened from neighboring properties. G, there shall not be any outside storage of vehicle parts, equipment, scrap, or similar materials. H, there shall not be any vehicle sales occurring on the site. I, all dumpsters or trash receptacles shall be screened from view of neighboring properties or roadways. J, any security lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. K, one unlighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet in size per side shall be permitted. L, the area of outside vehicles shall be shown on the final site plan and clearly marked on the site itself. M, all oils, hazardous substances, fluids, or similar substances shall be stored inside in accordance with all applicable laws and regulations and shall be disposed of in the same way. N, the hours of operation shall be 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And O, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Thereby, there was a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried with 4 votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 4-0, with Mr. Burton abstaining since he was not present during the public hearing.
Missed something. What did DelDOT say about an entrance?
DelDOT basically gives us comments for the level of service and traffic numbers.
They're not calling for a new design.
If you so grant approval, we'll then have to go back to DelDOT and get an actual entrance permit for that.
Okay, it's a little premature then.
Yeah, right.
Mr. President, may I?
It's a little hard.
And I'm not sure if this is geared towards you, Mr. President, or Mr. Link, or perhaps yourself, our attorney, and that is. I actually visited this property yesterday, and so I could be a little bit more educated about the decision that I will make today. And that is, but I actually do have some concerns as it relates to these conditions, and really the compliance. So really, I am trying to understand a little bit more about these conditional uses. And in the event this gentleman, the applicant, does not adhere to these requirements that we set forth in this, what happens? And number one, who's checking on it, number one? And number two, what actually happens if he is not?
Neighbors are going to check on it pretty close.
It's true. We're going to hear from the neighbors if he's in violation. If this is approved and the conditions are set, the neighbors know what the conditions are because there was some opposition. And if there's a notified, we'll have to send an inspector out, do an inspection, declare to the applicant what his conditions are and that he's supposed to comply with them, or else we will give him notice that we can terminate his conditional use. Then we have to go through a legal process to terminate that conditional use.
Which gets back down to my other point, because yesterday in here, to be specific, it is forgive me, number E, letter E. Mm-hmm. No more than 10 vehicles, trucks, or trailers shall be located outside at any one time. Well, there's more than that right now.
Agreed. We have photos of the same. Submitted by staff and submitted by the opposition, both. We have as many as 28
right.
on one occasion.
So we're almost down to 10, but we're not even there today as right. The day before we take right. a vote. So, again, right now, you know, one is not in compliance as we even set forth on a vote here.
He's been in operation illegally since the day he opened, based on the number of vehicles alone, and operating the automobile repair business. Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm a property rights guy. We want business, of course, all of that being said. But at the same time, he has not been in compliance all along since day one, correct? So is the anticipation or expectation, and I did speak to some of the neighbors yesterday, I won't share whom, but very near to the site, and they voiced their concerns as well as it relates to these items, and the compliance and the ability to hold one accountable to their agreement. So do we really, are we geared towards, you know, keeping people accountable to what they agreed to? And I mean, he's not been in compliance apparently ever, conducting a business illegally.
You weren't aware of it, but the council process, if the applicant's in the process of going through the public hearing to correct his application, to make it correct and be able to get approval, then we don't take any legal action against him until such time as this process is over. So the process or decision you make today gives us the insight is, do we have to violate him for the activity now and go for a cease and desist? Or if you approve it, we have to give him so much time to be brought into conformity. Meaning he'd have to get the agency approvals, get site plan approval to bring it into compliance.
I hear you.
Okay.
And one thing I would like to point out, it's very important when we make our decisions on these kind of applications, you need to look at the record that was made prior to the record being closed. The record was closed. So any conversation you had with neighbors yesterday or after that cannot play a part in your decision when you make that. You have to look at exactly what was on the record at that time when the record was closed.
Agreed. And I just, my bigger concern is that process of these items. How do we deal with those items?
Was there a law saying it had to have so many trucks or trailers there at the time?
Right now, it's got an AR property that's operating in violation of the code because they're operating auto repair and storing vehicles.
Okay.
He could store two vehicles on that site right now, and that would be the limit. Unlicensed, unregistered vehicles by code.
Now, how about their license? No limit, right?
If they're licensed, the same thing as operating auto repair shop. You're not supposed to have more than 10 cars outside.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But there is a difference between a licensed and unlicensed vehicle, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
But the number, since this is an application for an auto repair,
I understand.
He's got the number suggested is 10.
I understand.
One other question. Actually, the structure is in violation because you're not, if I'm not mistaken, you can't put a structure on a parcel without
a home.
That's wrong. Okay.
He's got over an acre of land. He can have a accessory building without a dwelling.
Oh, so he's okay there.
That part's okay.
Okay. That's okay. I wasn't sure. I know that there is a.
That's over an acre of land, okay. So he's fine.
Yeah.
In AR and GR district only. If you have an acre of land, you can have an accessory building without a dwelling. Otherwise, Jeff, if you put an accessory building up and you're being told that you have to start your dwelling within 6 months of issuance of the permit for the accessory building.
Any more questions?
Yes, sir. One other question, if I may, sir. And that would be what was the question? It was a good one, too. I'm telling you. Yes, and that is based on what happens today with the council's vote. One of these items, of course, is subject to compliance of all the fluids, letter number M.
Okay.
And my question as it relates to that, if based on whatever happens here today, one would have to go through more steps. Is that correct?
Right.
In order to comply.
In that instance, that would basically be they would maintain containers that could hold those fluids, and then a licensed handler would come in and pick up those fluids, or else the individual would take it to the landfill and they'd have to be located or dumped at a certain location based on the approval of the Solid Waste Authority.
Do we know what agencies are involved with those items right there?
Typically DENREC.
DENREC? So DENREC would need to be involved, and the applicant would have to reach back over
to
DENREC.
Basically, what we see in other cases is the applicant has a contract with a licensed handler to handle fluids, oils, greases, antifreeze, that type thing. And they would come in, pick up monthly or whatever, and haul, or based on order, based on the amount of fluid that 55-gallon drum might take a while to get it filled up. But then they would pick it up and dump it in their vehicle and haul it away.
Getting back to the earlier point, because this is something he has to get through some other government agency approvals, correct?
Right.
So do we, as a county, we make a decision here today, do we go back before we give the official or final, we have to reconfirm that he's done that?
No. What you're giving consideration to is the use of the property.
Right.
We will staff, if you approve it, we'll write a letter to him explaining what permits he's required to have, and then he has to go through the Planning and Zoning Commission for a preliminary and possibly final site plan approval.
And he knows the conditions. He's
well
aware.
The conditions. The conditions are stated right in the letter that goes to him if he so approved. Right.
Any more questions, Mr. Lank? Okay, I guess we need to have the short title read.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an automobile repair shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 1.5 acres more or less for reasons stated by planning and zoning 1 through 8 with conditions 9A through O.
Pleasure, Council.
I'd like to move to adopt it.
Second, Mrs. Dever, second, Mr. Cole, to approve conditional use 1994 with the conditions as read into the public record.
Exactly. Thank you.
Any questions on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Dever.
Okay. I heard all the testimony from the neighbors, and I became very concerned. They mainly, what I heard at the hearing, they complained about the location not being proper for a car repair business. And I feel like with these conditions, we would have a car repair business totally different from what exists now. And in my opinion, that's right on the road, and I think a business is appropriate right on that road. And that's, to me, that's proper location. I'm looking forward to what DelDOT has to say about, you know, entrance, because that's a concern, but DelDOT takes care of that. It's only a conditional use. It is not a rezoning, which is far more, earth-shaking than this. The number of vehicles has been a problem, but that's addressed in the conditions. He's limited to how many buildings could go up on that property. Well, he just has the one building. I've seen no evidence that he's asking to build another building. No other employees. Well, that sure keeps that business very small. And so, you know, he's got, 10 vehicles, and the only more commercial uses I see here is that he's going to have a sign, but actually that may contribute to smoother service all around. And I do understand how my constituents feel, but I do believe that these conditions, I think we will come up with a very well-run, pleasant business. And I say yes.
Cole.
I'll vote no. I don't support the application, and I'll use some of the Planning and Zoning Commission's concerns here, like their number one reason where they said about, they made statements that somebody referred to it as commercial or business zoning district. Well, maybe the key word that's wrong there was district. It is a commercial and business use, and the use with all these conditions is going to be very difficult to enforce. Number two on that list, it said there if there was a home on the property, it could be a home occupation. Well, the if is a big if, and there is no home there, so I don't believe it falls into compliance with the county ordinance. How you could enforce the number of vehicles. I didn't like the idea that there's permitted junked vehicles for 6 months. Now, to keep an eye on that is a full-time job. I don't think it's appropriate that the neighbors would have to count the number of junk vehicles. And it doesn't even put a limit on it. So the limit of junk vehicles could be any number. So, it's too left open-ended. 10 vehicles on site, actually in a residential neighborhood, agricultural residential neighborhood, I think is excessive. I think it, again, lends to the image being more commercial than anything else, along with a sign, which also indicates that it's a commercial activity. So for those reasons, I think it would be too difficult to enforce hours of operation, the whole thing. I don't think it's appropriate, and I believe that the nature of the business is it's not been in compliance, and I question whether they'll ever get in compliance. So I'll vote no.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Wilson. You're next, Mr. Arlett. Just for public record, Mr. Arlett cannot vote on this. He was not here when we had the hearings.
My vote is yes. I'm for a reason for planning zone, same reason.
You sure? Back in.
Yeah,
wait a minute.
I think I was
yes.
Here.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought I read that this process started.
The public hearing was a rehearing before council on January 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're right.
Okay.
I was right.
It was
that one.
But he may continue,
that.
Please.
No, Mr. Wilson voted yes.
Oh, he just voted yes. Gotcha.
You know, per the record, based on the record that was presented that particular day, and the concerns from the various constituents and the people that were here, as well as these conditions. I mean, I will tell you that I'm all about business, all about entrepreneurship, and everybody going out providing for their families. I think based on the record and based on the conditions that are here and set forth and the ability to comply with them or keep an eye on them or enforce them, and if they're not, I think it is impactful for the community in the surrounding areas. And if one wants to change that, then there's other mechanisms in place. So based on the record and based on these conditions and the ability to enforce, I will vote no on this.
Thank you, sir. Based on the record presented, based on the conditions placed on it by planning and zoning, which I agree with, and I'm sure if there are issues, we're going to hear that from the neighbors. So I'll vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Next.
Thank you, gentlemen. And later.
Any request, Mrs. Jennings?
Thank you. The first one is Lewis and Bloom. They're requesting $500 to sustain the Children's Learning Garden in Lewis. Besides planting and harvesting of vegetables and fruits throughout the growing season, they conduct gardening, cooking, music, storytelling, and exercise classes from spring to fall. Last grant received was $3,500 from Ms. Deaver, and again, they're requesting $500 this time.
That $3,500 was what as they got started in this thing, and they're asking for $500 at this time.
That's correct.
And since it's in Lewis, I guess, George, you wouldn't want to jump in there,
no,
would you?
No, right. I'm out of money.
Well, it's the kids are learning where their food comes from. So I think $500, I would like to contribute the $500 to that effort.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Second, Mr. Wilson. The grant $500 from Mrs. Deaver's Councilmatic account to Lewis and Bloom for the Children's Learning Garden. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Charlotte.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Obvious motion carried. Next.
Next one's the True Blue Jazz. They're requesting $2,500 to help support a scholarship to an aspiring jazz player, sheet music and instrumental rentals, as well as lessons for struggling music students. There have been no past grants to this organization.
No, this is actually a new organization, and it operates in the area. I mean, it's I don't think it's in any one particular area, but it's a kind of a result of, I think, of the jazz festival and stuff, and a group of people have started to try to get something like this off the ground for the arts. And I will give them some initial funding to help them get started with $1,000.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Yes, second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant $1,000 for Mr. Cole's Councilmatic account to the True Blue Jazz for operating costs and scholarship funding. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
And as I said, the Jazz Festival is one of the biggest draws in our county. And in the off season, which is a good time to have it, and I believe, like I said, hopefully this will be able to play off on it and be very successful. So I'll vote yes.
Dorlett.
Yeah, may I ask one quick question,
yeah,
President? And Mr. Cole, is this is being done through the school district? Is that correct?
No. It's a private nonprofit organization of musicians in the southeastern around Rehoboth, Lewis area.
Gotcha.
Again, it's associate. It's a result of the impact that I think the Jazz Festival has had. And they're focusing some of this on just jazz.
And students through the school. I'm reading.
Right. It's scholarships, right? They're going to help my understanding, the youth. Yeah, it's youth-oriented. Not yeah. Hopefully adults aren't going to be sitting around getting funding for
right.
playing music.
Okay. I'll vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried. Next.
Next one's the First State Community Action Agency is requesting sponsorship for their annual miniature golf tournament that benefits youth programs. Their youth programs engage youth in arts, improves academic performance through tutoring, and provides mentoring and case management. There are various sponsorship levels for this program. Last grant received was $500, which was $100 from each council member.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant $500 to First State Community Action Agency for their fundraiser to benefit youth programming. That'd be $100 per each council district. Questions on that motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Introduction proposed zoning ordinance. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you. There are three. First is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a public service facility, state police, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 9.3 acres, more or less, and it's in Ms. Deaver's district.
Oh, I'll introduce that.
Ms. Deaver introduced it.
And next one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an elementary school to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 25.4 acres, more or less. Ms. Devers' district.
I will introduce that as well.
Devers introduces it.
And the last, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a GR general residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 12,394 square feet, more or less, filed on behalf of Charles R. Allman, Jr., of Ms. Devers' district.
I'll introduce it.
Ms. Devers introduced it.
That is all, Mr. President.
Council members' comments. Anyone on the council have any comments today?
Oh, gosh. Oh, wow.
Anyone?
She's moaning there.
Hearing none, okay.
I think, you know, I'm a little concerned about all of our conditional uses and how we enforce them. I don't know the answer. I'm not a planner, not even anything like a planner, but I see a lot of conditional uses that require enforcement, and it concerns me. I'm not saying we should do something about it, but I think we should look at it and see if we can somehow improve the situation. The other thing that I would like to see us do is these commercial zone districts, areas, we could put more classifications in so that it doesn't have to be always a heavy, heavy commercial use like what we have with CR1. I'd love to see some defining other types of uses under that, as well as B1. I think I would like to see B2, B3, because folks might get a better idea of what it means.
Thank you. Anything else from council?
I got one comment. Thank you, Todd, for the presentation today, and thank you for trying to streamline the government, which people should learn to really appreciate.
You did a good
thank
job.
You.
Yeah.
Can I do? Mr.
Cole.
Yeah, let me do. I just want to tell everybody this is a kind of an example of what the good parts about good old Sussex County is. Tomorrow, Mr. Arlette and I are going to be speakers to the Southeastern Sussex County Democrat
Club. No, you're not.
We're going to be talking to the Democrats to try to help straighten them out a little bit.
I'm lunchtime. And I am going to the Republicans as well.
Well, the
Eastern Sussex Republican Women
that's
Club.
That's another week, right?
Yes.
Right. Anyway, Mr. Arlette will be there, and we'll be talking about growth and infrastructure.
I warned
you. So it might be an interesting topic.
There you go. A couple
of points, Mr. President, may I? And this last week, we actually have had the opportunity to reach out to many organizations, and I do want to go publicly on record because I think some of them were very important, very impactful, or potentially very impactful for our community here in Sussex County. And number one, I had the opportunity to participate. I drove down to Virginia Beach last week on Wednesday and for a regional FEMA meeting. And I at our NACO event, the National Association of Counties convention conference in D.C. a couple weeks ago, it was shared with us that our president has signed into law an executive order that could be hugely impactful for the Sussex County residents, or even perhaps really all of Delmarva. And I share this because I think we need to be aware of it. And what it is, it's talking about any property that is involved with the government, i.e. a government building. We're talking about federal government, and potentially even that of a loan. Many of our residents, of course, purchase properties with government-backed loans, VA or for our veterans, FHA loans, USDA loans, on and on and on. An individual that would participate in these would have to comply if they are a part of a 100-year flood zone, they must comply with the executive order, whereas they all of a sudden would be pushed out to a 500-year flood zone. Instantly, automatically, because of an executive order that our president has signed into law. And so very few people were aware of it. I had the opportunity to go down to Virginia Beach because FEMA was having regional meetings around the country to talk about this executive order. And they aren't even aware of exactly how to implement it yet. And that concerns me because of what the end result will be for. We live on a very flat area, and it could be hugely impactful for many, many people. And that, I will tell you, concerns me. So there's more to come about that. When Sussex County Community Exchange last Thursday over there at University of Delaware in Georgetown off of Route 9, all afternoon, all day, had the opportunity to talk about and listen to various players when it comes to storm management, various different things. And I thought that was a very enlightening opportunity. I had the opportunity to be with the folks of Del Mar on Saturday night for their annual community education foundation event. So I thought it was a great time to be part of them and what they're doing for their children in that county or in that school district. So thank you.
I'd like to double dip if I could.
Mrs. Deaver.
The League of Women Voters is doing some excellent work for us, I believe. It's nonpartisan. And they will begin a forum on taking a look at our land use plan and what we're required to do as far as updating it or getting it to the new one approved. And the first meeting, I believe, is right here in council chambers, and Mr. Todd Lawson will be there. This is so much better than going to hearings that we went to 10 years ago. They were very formal, and I'm sure we'll have hearings. But this is a way to communicate without the pressure. And they have three forums set up all around the county. But this kickoff is right here in council chambers. And I have that date. Do you have that written down on your calendar?
So this Wednesday at 7 p.m. here in council chambers.
It'll be really very helpful.
Tomorrow? You mean tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Wilson, you have something?
Is this the same women, League of Voters, Joan, that says that we're sea level rising, that the icebergs are melting in the Arctic? And is that have they got the same kind of science today?
Did you say anything? I didn't hear you.
Well, you need to listen a little bit, Joan.
Anything else from council? More comments from council? We'll entertain a motion to go to executive session for pending potential litigation land acquisition. Second. Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
We got the motion carried. We're now in executive session downstairs.
Thank you.